Hey, this is Adam Richman from Food Network UK, and you are feasting your ears on the Hotspur podcast.
Yeah, well, welcome to a brand new Hotspurs podcast. It is Tuesday, the 6th of April, 2021. I am Steve from Vincent in the LC Essex, and on today's My Spurs journey, we have got a hero, a warrior. Britain and the world, Mr. Tom Cousins. How you doing, Tom?
Steve, I'm good. That's a bit of a crazy intro. I've never had that before. But good to be here. Thank you.
Now, let's get straight into it then. So you have stood on the hallowed turf of White Hart Lane just once or many times?
I did two interviews and a couple of parades at the... at the Remembrance Day games over the years, when I started the Armed Forces Spurs Supporters Club.
Brilliant. And what, two interviews with Paul Coit?
Yeah, Paul Coit at halftime. I think I followed David Ginola 1 year. Really good to be on the pitch with Paul. Great guy.
Oh, fantastic. And so you're in the armed forces and you currently you go everywhere in the world. I'm very envious of that. And just so you know, I started redoing the My Spurs journeys last week during the Easter holidays. And I'd mentioned that it was really boiling hot outside, 20 degrees. It was sweltering. So wherever you are in the world, we don't have to say where, you can if you want. But what's the temperature there, mate? Is it because it's gone chilly again here? What, it's not 20 there, is it? Boiling hot. What sort of degrees are we talking about?
I'm happy to say I'm in Cyprus at RF Akrotiri. It's 25 degrees today.
So a chilly one for Cyprus, presumably.
It's going to start getting hot soon.
So it's boiling hot here last week, and then this week it's back to being freezing cold. So there we go. But lovely. So yesterday we said that let's definitely do this My Spurs journey. We'll go through the questions in just a second. And you said you sent me a picture, said, yeah, that sounds great. I'm just having breakfast. And it was a pile of beautiful pancakes with syrup and strawberries overlooking the ocean. And and then the very next picture was going in the sea for a swim. How about that?
Yeah, no, it was a good week of leave last week, Easter leave. Back into work today. So fitting this in gaps in my schedule.
Lovely. He's very, very humble, is Tom. But if it was me, I'd be like, yeah. Then we went down the bar, had some cocktails and all the rest of it. But good lad. Great stuff. Right, so... yesterday on the show, I had Ricky from the Fighting Cock. He was absolutely brilliant. And we also had Kieran from the Memory podcast, which was fantastic. Tom and me and you have met a few times in the Bell and Hare, a listener of the old all the different podcasts that we used to do down the years. So it's great to have you on. And I was just, you know, brilliant to catch up. Do you remember the old Bell and Hare days?
Yeah, no, definitely remember them. It's a shame we've not been there for so long now. I mean, we've been overseas for 5 years now, and we're due back in the summer. Hopefully it'll be post-COVID and we have to get down to the stadium again.
Now, you've been on the show before, and I'd said to you that a family member has done several tours, you call them, right, when you go to Afghanistan and Iraq and stuff like that. Would that be right? You call them tours?
Yeah.
And he said that Basra is a city, basically a city. Is that right? Is it Basra?
It's a city in southern Iraq.
Yeah. I'm getting it all wrong. Huh?
Do you mean Camp Bastion, where we started Afghanistan?
Sorry, yeah. So Bastion, he said basically it's a city with like restaurants and it's unbelievable. Well, is that right?
I think it was the size of Reading back in 2014 when I was last there. not quite sure what's going on there now, but it was definitely a big city. There were lots of people there from all over the armed forces of the world supporting the Afghans.
And do you, I said I've got Meghan Markle coming up for a follow-up Oprah Winfrey interview. She's agreed to do my Spurs journey with me. Did you ever come across Harry back in the day?
Yeah, I did. Harry was there in Bastion the same time as me in 2012. I didn't work with him, but tried to sign up to Afghan Spurs, but he's not a supporter apparently.
Well, he's a Arsenal, isn't he?
Is he? I'm not sure. Maybe that's why he didn't return my call.
Well, look, let's very quickly talk about the game at the weekend. Do you watch the games back out there in Cyprus?
Yeah, definitely. We've got British forces broadcasting over here, so sadly, watch the game on Sunday. It didn't finish very well.
What was all that about? I mean, you're being quite diplomatic. You sent me quite an abusive message, not to me, but about the game. And you're being uber professional here, but what a load of rubbish, eh?
Yeah, it was pretty poor, and it's consistently been like that, unfortunately, this season, isn't it? If you look at points we've thrown away against Newcastle in both games, West Ham 3-0 up, threw that away. I think I saw yesterday if we'd have finished the games at half time, I think we'd be second now. So it's really, really poor defensively, unacceptable. I think like Harry Kane said on the post-match interview, it's, for a team like us, we should be finishing games off.
Yeah, no, it's bizarre. And listen to all the podcasts, and everyone's got different opinions and what have you. And one of the biggest ones for me is hooking Vinicius at half time, bringing on Son, which at the time you go, yeah, well, Son's one of the best players in England, in the world, whatever. Brilliant. Here we go. What a great thing to be able to do. But when you look at it, you know, psychologically, I don't know why I just think we suffer psychologically. I just think that now puts Vinicius on the back foot going, oh, right, well, the boss doesn't rate me. He's hooked me already, even though we're 2-1 up. Didn't do much, admittedly, but it's the things that you don't do, maybe pulling defenders away so that Harry Kane can get in and being a nuisance in the box, I don't know. And Son comes on, and I thought Son was, abject, did nothing. Is that because Son's coming on and it's like, well, here we go, I'm the big player, I'm the big man. Whereas you keep him on the bench for a little bit longer, you kind of say, and he hasn't played well for several weeks. I don't know.
It's definitely a mentality. It isn't right. The way that they're playing, it's not the standard that you'd expect from decent players like that.
No, Declan Rice gets injured and doesn't play for West Ham, and I was rubbing my hands together yesterday going, well, there we go. The best player, he's out the team. But then they go 3-0 up and killed the game, as you would say, although Wolves did come back at it. But why can't we do that? anyway, let's get into the questions, Tom. You ready?
Yeah, ready.
Here we go. Right, what was the first football match you ever remember seeing?
So, 87 Cup Final against Coventry.
Yeah.
I don't quite remember the whole game, but I know what happened. I was at a wedding. My granddad was a big Spurs fan. He was the real influence in me supporting Spurs. And he said, come on, son, we'll go and find a TV somewhere. And so we went off to watch the Cup Final. And sadly, we lost that with Gary Mabbott own goal. But that was that's the first game I'm aware of, 87. After that, it would have been 90, Italia 90, and then the FA Cup semi-final in 91 would be Arsenal. That's the first game I really remember watching.
Yeah,
with my dad and granddad.
And again, what I love about doing these shows is that when you mentioned you're at a wedding, and your granddad said, come on, let's go and find a TV. We've all been in that situation. We've all been like, looking on the calendar, the family calendar or whatever, and you notice like whenever it is, and you're like, hang on, there's a wedding on that day. No, Spurs are playing. What? And then it's all the How do you negotiate watching that game? I've sat in my car.
I had that on my own wedding day. We were playing on the day we got married, and we had to go off and watch the match of the day, I think, in the bath. So,
well, who are we playing?
Oh, I can't remember. It was.
I went to a wedding, and we were playing Aston Villa at home, and so first of all, I couldn't go to the game, so I was gutted. But it was up north somewhere, and I remember sort of feigning not feeling too good and going sitting in my car and turning the this was before you could watch it on your phone. Van der Vaart scored 2 goals, and I remember listening to the radio, and we were that far north of, you know, Middlesbrough or whatever. No, not Middlesbrough, like Birmingham or something, that I was listening to Midlands radio, and it was really biased towards Aston Villa. So it was quite amusing when Van der Vaart scored, and yeah, and then the final whistle went, and I went back to the wedding, and I was like, "Where you been?" And it's like every single person, "Where you been? Where you been? Where?" I mean, I'm like, "You don't even. It's not even my side of the family. You don't even. None of you even know me. What are you? What are you?" Yeah. "Oh, been watching Spurs, have you? Oh, been listening to Spurs, have you?" So like the word had got round that I'd snuck
exactly
on,
that. I'd just
snuck
to
on to
my
listen
wife.
To it on the radio.
It was Southampton. We beat Southampton 2-0, 19th of December, 15.
Yeah. Brilliant. Sneaking off to watch the game. Has there been a football match that's made you cry?
Yeah, the Italia 90, Gaza semi-final.
Yeah?
Definitely.
You were in floods. How old were you?
Seven.
Watching it on telly?
Yeah, with my dad. Definitely, we've been to France on holiday for the earlier games, and then I think we got back and watched that, and I cried when Gaza cried.
So you said that dad, granddad was a Spurs fan. Was dad a Spurs fan?
No, dad was a West Ham fan when he was younger. Went to the
lovely singing in the background, by the way.
Went to the cup final. And then, but now he's a Spurs fan. Definitely converted him. So,
yeah.
He's
Do you know, I did the same. My dad was a Man United fan growing up, and I converted him. I don't know how. I don't know. strangely, in for those younger listeners, in about 1986, 87, Man United weren't very good. I think they won the cup in 85, but they were pretty poor. And Spurs were better, and my dad converted because his son was a Spurs fan. Strange.
So you cried
at that. Any recent games you cried at?
No, I don't think so.
Not Ajax away?
No, I didn't cry. I ran around cheering. I was in Iraq at the time, Baghdad, working with the Americans, and I'd been telling the Americans how.
Can you run around going crazy when you're in Iraq?
So the only place I could watch it was in a operations room where they had sort of work stuff going on TVs, but I managed to get one of the Americans to switch it over to the football and literally sort of went crazy. I was running around cheering, and I think I got quite a few Americans to support Spurs after that.
Tom, you've got to let us in on how that conversation goes.
Which one?
So the one to convince an American to presumably put the soccer on.
Get them to put the Spurs on. So I think he might have thought it was was American football team initially, and then we got it on the screen. And then obviously at half time we were losing, and they were like, "Hey, this team's rubbish." And we stuck with it, and obviously the rest is history. Probably the best game I've ever seen.
But you didn't cry. You couldn't cry. You're in Iraq, for goodness sake. Was it you I spoke to about my family member who said that the worst thing about Afghanistan and Iraq, I can't remember which one, but he said it was the sand just gets everywhere. Is that right?
Yeah, sand gets everywhere. Pretty hot as well.
Not only have you got
away from your family, that's
boiling hot, everything, you know, craziness and the world and blah blah blah, and then you've got sand to deal with. Oh my god, I don't know how you do it, but like I say, you're blimmin' heroes. That's why you're on. Love it. Funniest football match or moment you can think of?
Strangest thing, which probably shattered some illusions of Spurs, was when we were doing one of the Armed Forces Remembrance Day games, and Chirpy came into the changing room that we were in and took his mask off and went out for a fag, and that was pretty shocking. I thought, you know, shattered all the illusions of Chirpy, the Spurs mascot.
See, I thought Chirpy was a girl.
He's got a girlfriend, doesn't he? There's two of them now.
I know Chirpy and Lily, but I mean the person Lily. That dresses up as Chirpy, I thought was a woman.
No, he's definitely a guy.
shattering illusions all over the place here. Okay, so that's pretty good. so you were there with the other army guys?
Yeah, the Armed Forces Spurs. So I think we started the Afghan Spurs in 2012, and then it became the Armed Forces Spurs, trying to sort of get all of the forces supporters together. I then handed the supporters club over to a guy called Will Brook, who's taken it forward and he's developed really, really strong relationships with Spurs, and that we're still involved. And the supporters clubs raised quite a lot of money for the Royal British Legion, supporting that great cause and working with Spurs. We've also got the RAF Spurs, which is run by a chap called Gaz Attridge, and again we've got some really good following. So when I moved overseas, Will took it on, and he's really sort of driven it forward, and it's a great little supporters club now.
Yeah, cool. Okay, worst football match you ever saw?
I think it's probably on the TV. I think it's probably last week against Arsenal or the Europa League game.
Yeah.
You know, that's one, two that really stick in my mind as being terrible games. Yeah, I think they're the ones at the minute, definitely.
Pretty terrible. And have you ever? I mean, you're an army man. You don't get scared, but have
Air
you
Force, ever? Royal Air Force,
Royal Air Force. But I mean, you know, so you're fearless. But have you ever been at a football match and been scared, or been watching a match and been scared?
Coming out of Antwerp, I think in Belgium, Europa League, and my mate Barney, and we took a wrong turn and sort of ended up in the middle of the Antwerp fans. I think they'd had a few drinks and were pretty pretty up for a fight.
Yeah.
So we managed to run away, I think, and got away from that.
West
Ham away. Was it the West Ham away game at Upton Park when Eric Dyer scored in the last minute?
Yes.
And coming out of that game was you have to sort of run as fast as you can.
Yeah, dodge. I love it. So Air Force. So I mean, what are you in the flyer? Are you pilot?
No, logistics. So my team run the airport, RAF Akrotiri, processing passengers and freight and loading and unloading the aeroplanes.
Do you go in the planes at all?
I've been in aircraft and helicopters if I've been moving around sort of operational locations, but not really at the minute.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering, because every time I watch that, it petrifies me. I don't know how you boys do it. I'm in awe. Just brilliant. I mean, but you climb aboard and all right, yeah. That's what we do,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, there's safety precautions and procedures.
What's the banter like with all the boys?
Boys and girls. Boys and girls. Yeah, it's a great camaraderie, particularly when you're away on operations and everyone's working together, working hard to to achieve whatever the task is, and little things. I think I've said this before, and I might have been to Paul Hawksby. It's those little things that make it when you're overseas. So for example, watching football was my thing. Or my last time I was away in Afghanistan, my team used to sort of joke if Spurs were playing, then we had a couple of hours off while I watched the game. But it was the same for all the other clubs and the other teams or the other sports. If the guys sort of managed to get time off or putting quiz nights on and that kind of thing, any little activity to just try and bring a bit of normality to when you're away is very welcome.
Have you done that thing that I see on YouTube quite a lot, or you see videos when the servicemen come back from a tour and they surprise their wife or their kid? Have you done one of those videos?
No, I haven't. No, not personally.
Make me cry. They really get me emotional.
No, and I've not done that personally. I've always sort of said I'm coming. I've been delayed. Definitely been delayed. Said I'm coming back.
Let's keep it a secret. Like there's something to do. You should definitely do one of them. You have done a. What was the video of Majestic? Totally different subject, but there was there was something that happened in 2015.
Yeah, that's right. I heard Majestic was on your show last week. So it was New Year's Day 2015. We beat Chelsea 5-3 at White Hart Lane. I had a ticket, but I gave it away because I didn't think we had much of a chance. And we were going out to a nightclub in London, and there's a DJ called DJ EZ, who's a big Spurs fan, and he was doing an 8-hour set, and MC Majestic was on as well, and it was this surreal. I was doing like this 5-3 with my hands in this nightclub with all these people, and Majestic saw it, and they just kind of cut the dance music that was on, and they started mixing in We Are Tottenham, Super Tottenham, We Are Tottenham from the Lane, and then Majestic held up a Spurs shirt, and it was as if everyone in the nightclub was a Spurs fan, and people just started chanting Tottenham songs, and it was a bit of a surreal event, and I filmed it and put it on YouTube, and it sort of did quite well on YouTube, but it was there's quite a few of the DJs.
So when I release this and put it on Twitter, see if you can tag in the video.
Yeah, we'll do.
It'd be funny. Is there a footballer that you used to love but you don't anymore?
Probably Campbell. I think he's definitely was on my wall when I was a kid, and then when he went to Arsenal, you sort of had to tear the posters down and burn them.
Ritually burn them. I mentioned on a show last week that he came to Southend to manage them, and that's my local club, and he was dreadful. And we were chatting back and forth about, you know, racism, which obviously is a huge issue, always has been, but in particular at the moment. And the fact that he brought up, you know, that he hadn't been captain of England, possibly due to racism. And it's like, you know, that sort of thing angers me, because I'm so, so vehemently against racism. That's something like that, although he didn't mean to. I think that allows racists to say, oh, look, they just think they're racist. Everything's racist. He didn't mean to do that. But that's unfortunately they the racists grab hold of that, you know, and go, see, everything's racist. No, not everything's racist, but some things are. One of the things I mentioned was that, you know, he was a rubbish manager. And Sol Campbell, the thing is about him is that it's not because of the colour of his skin. It's because he's too laid back. He doesn't communicate well. I mean, we've seen him in interviews. And to caveat that, I'm gonna say that I think Leddy King possibly is somebody that isn't a brilliant communicator as well. So Leddy King, love him. I was talking to my boy today, and he said to me, if Jose goes, could Leddy take over? You know, and it's difficult because Leddy's such a brilliant player, led by example. But is he vocal enough What are your thoughts on that, Tom? Just on the Ledley King
being Spurs manager. You've seen club legends come back before, Glenn Hoddle and Ozzy Ardiles, and it's not worked out. I think you're right. You don't see sort of looking at the touchline in being particularly vocal, but you do see him before the players are coming on, sort of putting their arm around him, going through the tactics, and he does seem more of a thinker than a particularly sort of vocal manager. But I think he could be a good coach. He could be a good manager.
I think he'd be a brilliant number two with Michael Dawson as a manager in years to come. Because every time I see Michael Dawson, I think he's wonderful.
He's very impressive as a pundit. I think he speaks very well and got a great understanding of the game. And that could work. Hopefully we don't need it and we start winning things with what we've got.
I hope so too. What's the best match you ever saw?
In person? Probably 9-1 versus Wigan. That was I was behind the goal in the second half when Defoe got the five with my dad, 2012, just before I went to Afghanistan for the first time, actually. And that was a great game to be. I was also at Madrid Champions League when we beat them at White Hart Lane with my dad again. So that was they're both great games.
Do you mean when we beat Real Madrid at Wembley?
Yeah, Champions League.
Oh, it's wonderful. What a night that was.
That was a brilliant game.
Yeah, amazing stuff. So what is your favourite country?
That I visited, probably Mexico. Mexico is a great place to visit.
Yeah. And I'm going to caveat that by saying, what's the worst country you've ever been to?
I don't know. I've been to some pretty challenging countries, countries that are going through sort of redevelopment. But,
let's not get too heavy. The question just popped into my head.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
Let's not go into detail, but I'd imagine... I'd imagine Afghanistan is pretty ropey at times.
Yeah, it can definitely be challenging.
And some of these places though, like Iraq and Afghanistan, have they got like areas of beauty? And you think actually, you know, if they could sort themselves out, these would be great places. You know, I know they're boiling hot, but it's like Dubai is boiling hot, but you know, you go there and you can have a great time, or you know what I mean.
Afghanistan's got some. It's got great potential. There's I was very fortunate in the capital Kabul to see some really interesting historical sites. There was a British Commonwealth War Grave Cemetery in the middle of the city, and it was like a secret garden, very respectful, and it had been undamaged throughout the Russian occupation, throughout the Taliban times, and the upkeep was done by a local gardener who was employed by the embassy, and it was just like if you've been to a Commonwealth war grave in France or Northwest Europe, you know, it was just that impeccably kept. So some very very nice parts of all those countries.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Which football player do you dislike the most? It doesn't have to be Spurs.
No, I'm not sure. I don't know about players. I used to dislike Mourinho until he became a manager. But he's that kind of guy that you hate when he's at other clubs. But I've not sort of given too much thought to a particular player that I dislike.
What about a football club you dislike most?
Definitely Arsenal. The rivalry. Always good to beat the local team, the local rivals.
What in the Air Force then, and in the armies and all that, when you go around, can you tell the Arsenal fans, can you tell the Arsenal soldiers that they're just that little bit more of a twat than everybody else?
No, I don't think it relates to how they are at work. I think I wouldn't say you'd spot them. Definitely have a good bit of banter with the fans from the other teams, though, yeah. Certainly when you're away on ops as well.
Fantastic. Who's your favourite ever player
that I've seen? Again, probably Harry Kane, Gareth Bale the first time.
Yeah.
I was a big Jermaine Defoe fan. I thought he was a great player. Still is. I mean, he's still going. That's crazy. If you think now, he's just won the Scottish League with Rangers.
Yeah.
He's been playing for a long time. Probably Kane.
It amazes me how players don't carry on and just play down the leagues. I mean, as I say, at Southend, they struggle so much. And I saw Robbie Keane play at that practice match for the new stadium 2 years ago. And he was fantastic, and way better than anything Southend have. And I thought, well, why don't you just go there, play a bit of football? You know, you won't be on any wages, but you know, better than sitting around doing nothing. And just go and play, carry on playing football. Anton Ferdinand came down to Southend, and he was brilliant for the first season because it was like me and my boy. I was like, all right, Anton, you know, he's not the world's biggest name in football, but he is a name, and it really bemuses me why people, these players, sort of just go, okay, I'm 35 now, that'll do me. Go and play in the lower leagues. Go and play in Scotland, like Jermaine Defoe's done, and you look at Ibrahimovic now. He's 40 next year, and he's just signed another year at AC Milan. And he's still scoring. Amazing.
Yeah, no, you completely agree. If they're able to keep fit and keep at the standard, great yeah. players.
Brilliant. Who's your favourite ever manager?
Again, in my time, it's probably Pochettino. You know, we were so close in that Champions League season, and just thought he was a very fortunate with the Armed Forces Spurs that he'd always make time for us when we were at the game and doing the Remembrance Day parade, and he'd come and speak to us, and
yeah,
a really, really nice guy, great manager. It's disappointing it didn't work out. I thought with that season after we got to the league final, we had to kind of build on that, and we had to invest then and trust Poch, and that didn't happen, and obviously ended sadly.
Where did you watch the City and Ajax game?
City game, I was on R&R, 2 weeks off from Iraq, and I mentioned earlier I was in Baghdad for the Ajax game.
So you're in Baghdad for the, I mean, Spurs fans listening to this, Tom Cousins was in Baghdad watching Spurs v Ajax. Wow. Where were you in Baghdad?
Oh, just at a military base, nowhere particularly exciting. But I did leave my
English pub called the Rose or something.
No.
But
I did leave my Spurs flag there.
You know, like anywhere in the world though, Tom. Anywhere in the world, there is an Irish bar called Paddy O'Grady's or something, right? You go anywhere in Poland, or you know, I'm sure there's one in Cyprus. Is there one in Baghdad?
I very much doubt it, given it's a Muslim country and the security situation.
Okay. But you watched it in Baghdad. What was it, boiling hot?
Would have been pretty hot.
Wow. I love that. Right, what about your favourite ever goalkeeper?
Torsvet, I think he was the...
Yeah,
that, again, the back Viking. To that first season, I remember 91 Cup final and semi-final, and Torsvet was the man then.
Yeah, oh, tremendous goalkeeper.
I saw him play in that game you mentioned, the Legends game against Inter Milan before the when the new stadium opened, and he was in goal for.
Yeah.
He was in goal for that game.
Let himself down, I thought.
He's about 60.
What about a legendary player? Now, it doesn't have to be a Spurs person. Mine is Maradona. Who is your legendary footballer of all time?
I think as a player, Glenn Hoddle. It does have to be a Spurs player.
Yeah.
Glenn Hoddle was an amazing player.
Have you met Glenn?
Yes. Yeah, I've met Glenn. Been very fortunate. Again, he's someone else who's got a lot of time for the members of the armed forces when we've been at White Hart Lane and the new stadium as well. I'm sure he's a good guy.
I mean, Glenn, to me, he doesn't disappoint. He's just lovely. And, you're in awe of him, but it's just so nice. I love these chats about when you meet the ex-pros and everything. I mean, I'm sure some of them can be quite spiky. I haven't had a chat with anybody that's ever met Pavlichenko, but I'd imagine he'd be a bit grumpy about but he was a fan favourite, you know. Right, a couple more, mate, and then I'll let you go back to whatever you were doing, sunning yourself on the beach or whatever. what about your favourite ever midfielder?
Gazza. Has to be Gazza.
Same as me. Yeah.
Yeah, awesome player, Gazza.
And your favourite striker?
Kane. I think Kane's the ultimate striker. The way he's playing now, I mean, top goal scorer. 13 assists, I think.
I just hope for me, but
just hope he stays. Hope Kane stays. I think that's a.
Yeah, we all hope he does. I mean, they come out, didn't he, Pep Guardiola, and said we're not going to be able to afford anyone, you know, of any worth. So what does that? Where does that leave him? I mean, he does he go Man United? I mean, to me, I think that's a massive risk. But, you know, we'll see what happens. I think you know, the conversation about Kane going has died its death, so we're definitely not going to bang on about it here. But here's my final question, Tom. You ready for it?
Go for it.
So aliens come down. They land in Cyprus, and they find you, and they come up to you and they say, Tom Cousins, hero to a nation, one of the bravest men on planet Earth. Forget all that. We want to know about football. And you go, yeah, I know quite a bit about football. Actually, my granddad took me to the 87 Cup final where we lost to Coventry, and I decided to support the team that lost that day. But let's forget about that. Yeah, go on, what do you want to know? And they go, right, well, have you got a DVD that we can watch that encapsulates football? And you go, well, funnily enough, I know the exact game that encapsulates everything to do with football. Here it is. You hand them a DVD. What match are you handing them and saying, watch this. This is football.
It's got to be the Ajax semi-final. I mean, that absolutely unbelievable match to come back and score three goals and get through to the final. Just wish it could have been different in the final. But that semi-final, definitely, that's an amazing game.
Yeah. Watch it in Baghdad. Wow, fantastic. All right, mate. Good stuff.
Hey, thanks, buddy.
Anything else you want to say about the current team or get anything off your chest with regards to Spurs these days?
I'd just like to really give a plug for our Armed Forces Spurs groups, particularly on followers on Twitter. We had about 13,500 on the original Twitter handle, which was shut down because we inadvertently posted a Sky Sports copyrighted clip. So we're trying to get our followers back up. So please join us at AF_Spurs_OSC, which stands for Official Supporters Club, and also at RAF Spurs. So please follow us, show your support to the Armed Forces and your football club. That'd be really appreciated.
Brilliant. All right, mate. Well, look, We got United coming up. Let's say we got 5 minutes. What are your thoughts on United coming up and the rest of the season? What are we going to do?
I guess we're always hopeful for a comeback after the poor showing against Newcastle. United will be a tough game. They're doing reasonably well in the league. I don't know how the season's going to finish. It's just a crazy. It's a crazy season. Obviously, hopeful for the top four. We're still only, I think, one win away from the top four. But West Ham are doing well. They're up there. So we need to catch them, catch Chelsea, and hopefully the players are good enough to put a run together and get us back up there. Whether that's to then set us up for another season with Mourinho, or if it's to set us up for a season with someone else, and we'll have to wait and see, I think.
We shall see. All right, mate. Well, all the best.
Cheers, Steve. Thanks, buddy. All the best.
It's been great fun, and I'll see you soon.
Take care, mate. Thank you.
Cheers, matey. Come on, you Spurs.